if you would, Matthew chapter 5, we're continuing in our study of standards of the Master, and we learned last week, those of you that were here, that we began to see the six illustrations that Jesus, our memory verse from last week was, "For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will nowise see the kingdom of heaven," and that's the hinge verse for the next six illustrations that Jesus will use. And last week was on murder. If you remember, we talked about the Pharisees felt pretty good about they hadn't killed anybody as far as the physical action, but Jesus was letting them know that if you were angry with your brother, that you were guilty of murder. And so we realized that we were murderers, all of us. And I don't know how many people that I killed on 194 this week. But every time I hear myself saying, "Raca, Raca." You know, I have to be very careful with that. You know, we see those tendencies within ourselves whether if you're one of those kind of drivers, it never fails. If you're always in a hurry if you're a pastor, okay? And it never fails. Yeah. If you're always in a hurry, it never fails. 20 miles an hour by a Floridian is just not acceptable in a North Carolina mountain road, okay? But we learn to deal with those issues. We see really that the tendencies are within all of us when we're squeezed in those ways. And so this morning we're going to see that Jesus continues on with these illustrations, and we're going to see that it's not these outward things that are the problem, but that at the heart of the problem is a heart problem. And that he's working and dealing on the inside. And then we'll see that no greater than in our anger, but also in the realm of our sexual desire. And today we're going to be looking, the title of this message is The Look of Lust, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 30. Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 30. Stand to your feet, if you would. Honor the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 30. The Word of God says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and for your word. And God, we pray in Jesus' name that Christ will be glorified through this message. Lord, touch us right where we are, and we'll give you the glory. In Christ's name, we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we live, and we were talking about in a violent culture, and today was talking about the days of Noah, and it was talked about as being a violent place, and we know we can kind of relate to that when we turn on the news and violence, but also today when we get to these scriptures, we're talking about we live in a sex-saturated culture, okay? We live in this preoccupation and with sex and all these things that go on. I want you to know it's all right to talk about and preach about sex, okay? God created it, and it was good within the parameters of a husband and a wife. A husband and a wife, those parameters, he said, it was good and it's okay. Anything outside of those parameters is sin. I want to announce that right off the bat this morning. Anything outside the parameters of being a married husband and wife is sin. Sex outside of that is sin. And so God is dealing with these things, and he's trying to expose this problem within each and every one of us. And I want us to look at Jesus' evaluation of the situation this morning. And first look at the deed, verse 27. "You have heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" We know that's one of the big ten, the Ten Commandments that we all know and we've studied, we memorized as kids and these things. And so I want you to know he's quoting from Exodus chapter 20, 14. And last week he dealt with the sanctity of life, where we're talking about murder, but this week he's dealing with the sanctity of marriage. And anger and sexual lust are two of the most powerful influences in all of mankind. Two influences that we have to deal with. And when we give in to these influences, they will control us. Be truthful. And I want us to think about what we blame, the blame game. Anybody knows what that is, right? The blame game. And I want you to know that today's psychology, and I know we have to deal with that. If we have issues, we have today's psychology, which come mostly from Freud, Sigmund Freud. And you know what he says? He's the one that started this whole blaming. You know what he said to blame it on? Blame it on your parents. Boy, we like that, don't we? We blame ourselves. Moms get a bad deal on that, right? Moms blame herself for everything anyway. And so when Sigmund Freud said, just blame it on your parents. Or he says, blame it on your environment. Blame it on if you could teach or educate somebody. We've all heard that. We see that in our prison systems, right? If you educate them more, if they can just get education and more knowledge, then a crime will stop. How well is that working? Huh? How well is that working? You see, the heart of the problem is not blaming it on. Yes, I'm going to tell you this morning, and you could have came from a really rough background. I want you to know I'm very sensitive to that. I realize that some of those things will affect us the rest of our life, but you cannot blame the things and the choices you make on something that's happened in your life. We have to take responsibility for that. So this is one of those things that we got to take responsibility for, not blame it on anything, and that's fidelity within our marriages. The culture, it becomes culturally okay for you to have an affair. They have TV shows, right? They have sitcoms about it. It's okay, that's just what happens. It's all right. It's healthy. What kind of garbage is that? That's the world we live in. The world that we live in. And I want you to know, ladies, I know that this morning you'll think, well, they're really hammering the men this morning. Listen, this is a sin that is an equal opportunity destroyer, okay? And I want you to find your place within this scripture this morning, and I promise you will point it out through the Word of God. Because the idea is we live in a day where media uses sex to glamorize, even sell hamburgers. Come on. Come on. Them women that look like that, you think they're going to eat a big old hamburger like that? Get real. They starve herself to death. Let's get real. Really, seriously, how foolish are we? A big old triple. They're really going to do that. They're thinking, dear Lord, I'm going to have to go without food for a month. But they glamorize. Look, see Satan's attack on you, please. See Satan's attack on society. See Satan's attack on the family, on marriages. See how he works. And this is something that's right out in our face. If we're not careful, we become so callous that we just get so used to it that we don't see it for what it is. And it's an attack on the things of God also. It's an attack. The world wants us to get rid of the scripture. It wants us to get rid of the things that we believe in. Why? So it can live in its sin and not be convicted. It can live any old way that it wants to and not have to pay the piper, so to please. And so we as God's church have to stand up. You know, in the beginning, God created everything good. We need to make sure we get this point. God created sex. He didn't just look down at Adam and Eve and say, what are they doing? I didn't mean for that to happen. No! He created it good. And we think as Christians, God created it. And he made these parameters. He made it something beautiful. We are the ones that always mess up nastiness. You know, we make something that it's not supposed to be. Because sin in us. See sin in humanity. Humanity is the blame. God is not the blame. We want to point fingers at God. It's humanity and the fallenness of man. We must first understand that we're to blame in this area of infidelity. It's us that make the choices to choose to cheat on our spouse. And so we have to understand, how do we deal with this issue? We should never be self-righteous and say, it never happened to us. I want to know that except by the grace of God, there go I. Never get so self-righteous that you think a sin can't touch you. You're in trouble when you do. I want you to see that Christ is going to knock our self-righteousness out of us this morning. He's going to knock us down, hopefully to our knees. Hopefully to our knees. When he knocks you down, hopefully it's always to your knees, and it's for a purpose to help us to be closer to him. We're the guilty ones. That's the deed. Now look at the desire, verse 28. This is where Jesus is really getting to the heart of the problem. But I say to you, he said, you've heard this of old, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Man, that's a dagger. Woo! See, these Pharisees and Sadducees, man, they and the scribes, they just thought, man, as long as they didn't do it, as long as they didn't do the act, they were good. And they could do whatever, look at however, have whatever imagination, whatever you wanted to run with, they were fine as long as they didn't carry it out. God says, no, there's a heart matter there I need to deal with, Christ is saying. And I love when he says, but I. And I thought about this, I couldn't help it. I'd like to do a sermon series on the buts of the Bible. Think about, but God. Man, some of the great things that we see, he says, but you've heard this, but I. But I'm going to tell you, we're bad to use it the other way, okay? Well, she's okay, but I like South Fork Baptist Church, but I would pay my tithe, but think about how we misuse it. And in Christ, we can overcome all these things. And he's saying, hey, it's about our heart. It's about a good heart. And it's not about this following this standard that the scribes and the law that they had made it into something that it never meant for it to be, okay? And they were tooting their horn. If you're a horn tooter, you better quit tooting, okay? That's right. Well, I don't ever brag on myself. Get ready. Wah! Most of the time. Well, I don't usually say like, wah! That's the truth. We should never brag on anything but Christ and what he's done. And any goodness that you do for him, he gets all the glory. Anything that goes on here at this church, whatever he decides to do at this church, we will point him, we'll point people to Christ. It's Christ that does it all. All. He deserves all of our glory. But Jesus, you know what? He puts this into his own authority. See, please see God for who he is, Christ for who he is. He said, this was the authority of the Scripture, and the rabbis had taken, they'd misused it. Let me show you what the Scripture really means. Why? I am the Word, but I. But I, that's what he said. He's given the authority, and he's saying, listen, this is the tradition of the rabbis. Let me show you what God is really wanting. And he says, looks. He used that word, looks, there. When he looks at a woman, and it's really, it's talking about, it's a present participle, and it's this continuous process of looking. We can't go around life, man, with blinders on. Boy, sometimes we wish you could, right? Just tie a blindfold on. You know what you're going to do? You're going to trip, break your neck, okay? It's talking about a continuous look. It's an imagination. It's that. That's where we have to worry. I want you to understand that it's the battle is won and lost in the mind, okay? It's the mind is the battlefield that we deal with here. And he's talking about, look, looking, it's not, you're not a glancer, you're a gazer. Not a glancer, but a gazer. Are you a glancer or a gazer this morning? Something to think about. To gaze with something of intention. Looking with a purpose of lust, and D.A. Carson says it's a speaking of a deep-seated lust of the imagination. This is the whole purpose of pornography, okay? 60% of the men in churches today are either engaged in some form of pornography. 60% sitting right here. That's what it's saying. Why? Pornography destroys by consuming its viewers with its satisfying cravings. These cravings, these lusts that Jesus said, you need to keep them under control. That is not something that honors me. I want you to know something, men. If you're engaged and struggling with that, listen, you got to be open and honest with it first before God. And you got to let God know that. And you got to have help. You need accountability. You need to have people that are in your face saying, what did you look at this week? It's something that the world, Satan, you know, it used to be that it couldn't, you had to go somewhere to get it. Now it comes right in your house, okay? It can come right on your cell phone. You don't have to worry about access. And our young people, we need to guard them against it. It's there, okay? We can shine and we can hide our face from it. It's there. And Satan is using it to trip. And many a woman of God, the statistics say women now are more and more engaged in pornography. Listen, when the women go, society goes. You've heard me say that. Dear Lord, when the women get to the point where they go and they give in to the things, you know what? They've held back for so long. Satan has sold such a bad bill of goods. And I want you to know something else, women, while we're on it. The way you dress has something to do with it also. Don't come into church here with skirts and dresses above your knees. Don't come into God's house thinking it'll be all right. Here's what most of them do. Well, that's their problem. No, it's your problem too. It's your brother in Christ that you should say, before I put it on, is what is this going to be perceived as? Okay? You have a responsibility to say, what am I showing? What is it that, and how am I going to be perceived? You say, well, what? Paul said, if I cause my brother to stumble, did he not say that? I won't eat of the meat sacrificed to idols. Causing your brother to stumble. Be careful, ladies. I know that we live in a culture saying, well, you can't find any no more. Listen, just wear pants in. That's what it takes. Just think through it. Think of the perception that you're giving off. Think of it, of the perception you're giving off. We live in that world. John Piper says, lust is sexual desire minus honor and holiness. Minus, what a great statement. Lust is sexual desire minus honor and holiness. Looking is the outcome of being. Let me say that again. Looking is the outcome of being. It's an expression of the heart. The heart is the soil where the seed grows. Satan will try to tempt a man with lustful thoughts. But if sin is resisted, what does it say? Resist the devil and he'll do what? Flee. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So no sin if it's resisted. It's a constant. I told you about my dad that he was one, when after he got saved, he had lived his life and he had affairs, he had girlfriends and all that. I even knew that. You know, Dad, your sons know that. I hope you don't think that you're that foolish that you're pulling anything off, by the way. I knew that. But when he got saved, he couldn't go back and undo the things that he had done. And he thought he had got so on fire for the Lord and God had transformed him. He thought temptation was sin. That's a miserable person. That's a miserable person. Even the thought, you know, you had this battle that's constantly going on. He thought that was sin. And all he got done was just beating himself up for all that. And it's a hard thing to convince somebody that temptation is not sin. It's these steps of temptation that it becomes sin. And so when we resist the devil, he flees from us. Temptation is not sin. If it was, Jesus would have sinned. The scripture said he was tempted in all way and yet without sin. Jesus is our greatest example. I want us to think about this morning. What is Jesus getting to? He always begins in the mind. He always begins with the heart. Remember he said whenever, we were talking about this story, whenever he goes to pick out a king, Saul had slipped, right? Saul fell. Saul had disobedient to God, and so he goes to Jesse's house, right? Because God told him to go there, said, I'm going to anoint a new king, one of Jesse's sons. He had seven of them, remember? Remember the story, he goes there, and he's even thinking, wait a minute, God, now this is Saul. Or Samuel, he said, if I go out there, that's Saul, he's crazy. He's going to kill me because he's going to know something's up. And so even God said, here, let me lay it out for you, Samuel. This is what you got to do. He goes to Jesse's house, and they march them big old broily eyes in front of him. Look. Surely this is the Lord's anointed, Samuel said. Remember, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. The scripture says that. So Samuel, man, you'd already went that route one time. Bink. No, God, this is not God's anointing. So he marches and over. Dun, 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 dun. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. Boop. Nope, this ain't him. He marches all six of them boys in front of him. And God says, this is not him. Samuel said, surely, is this it? It's all you got. Surely, you got another one. So, oh, yeah, we got a little old peanabber out there. He's watching the sheep. You know, he's out watching sheep. Go get him. We ain't going to sit down until he's here. David runs in, ruddy, small. God said, that's the man. That's the man. That's the man. Anoint him. And yet we know this man after God's own heart. We know that scripture says David was a man. God said, I don't look on the outside. I look on the inside. And yet David, with this same sin one day, when he should have been out fighting. It said when kings go to battle, he looked over and saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And we see what the sin led to, a man that was even after God's own heart, and he commits adultery and kills her husband Uriah the Hittite. I want you to know there's no bulletproof men sitting in this room today, even the ones that are after God's own heart. This is a sin that we all have to be guarded. A popular. That's a tree, isn't it? A popular proverb. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. Something for us to think about. Who we are on the inside is who we are. You know, we focus on the outside. I'm glad this morning you got all cleaned up. You took a shower, probably most of you did. You squirted something nice that smelled nice, and we get all cleaned up, right, to come into the Lord's house. How much did we focus on the inside? Just a thought. How much did we sit down and say, I need to look and see if I need to wash some stuff off on the inside? We focus on the outside greatly. The psalmist said, look, search my heart, O God, and know me, and see if there are any wicked way in me. He said, look, Lord. He knew what it was to fall. Look and search, Lord. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. Guard your heart above all things. Why? Out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Why? Because the heart is the heart of the problem. The things we view, the stuff we listen to, the places we go, the things we post on Facebook. Hello? The things we post on Facebook for the world to see. You're a child of God, but you're also a member of South Fork Baptist Church. Think about what you're posting on Facebook and what it looks like. Oh, that's somebody else's problem. Wrong. It's your problem. We're all in this thing together. What are you viewing? What are you looking at? Ladies, Magic Mike XXL was not a movie you should have wanted to go see. All right? 50 Shades of Grey is not okay. We just wink at it. We think, oh, it's okay. You've got a whole generation coming up behind you, and you're influencing them also. It's okay. It's all in fun. No, it's not. God's Word said, be close to me. Keep your heart clean, because out of it is the issues of life. Keep yourself clean. We cannot soak our hearts in sewage and it not affect us, okay? What are your inputs in life this morning? What are your inputs? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are your inputs? We must shun lust and pursue purity. Shun it. The world wants to offer it up to you every day. It's waiting on you. That's the deed and the desires that last. I'm glad God doesn't leave us there. Jesus don't, but deliverance. Look at verse 29 through 30. It says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. This is seriousness. We see the seriousness of sin, the radicalness of it. In Jewish culture, the right eye and the right hand were a person's very best vision, best skill, best friend. Oh, they're my best friend. If it causes you to sin, cut it off. Radically, get rid of it. Jesus is saying, take a radical stand. Better to go through life blind and maimed than to go to hell intact. Giving up whatever's necessary, even the most cherished and protected thing in our life, if it causes evil. This is speaking of severing this sinful impulses in which it pushes into evil action. Sin must be dealt with radically. I want you to know something, though. When I read this scripture, there's a problem. So, well, why? But there's a problem. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. If I pluck out my right eye, I still got a left eye. if you pluck out both of them, I still got imagination. You don't think a blind man can't lust? You wouldn't believe the garbage that I put into my head that's there from when I knew Christ. It comes up. So glad you can't see the garbage in your pastor's head sometimes that Satan will bring up that I have to constantly put under the blood of Jesus Christ. As a blind man, I would still be attacked. If I cut this right hand off, this left hand is still going to sin. So I'm thinking, Lord, I know it's radical, and I know you're asking for this radical stuff. Calm down. This radical action against sin. He's wanting us to be radically against sin in our own life. But I'm thinking, Lord, what do we do? What is he doing? He's letting us know that all the mutilation in the world on the outside is not going to remove the problem, okay? In fact, it drives me to the hopelessness of the situation. Thank God I'm on this side of the cross when I read this, okay? We're on this side of the cross on this Sermon on the Mount because we know Jesus is letting us know the guilt is not in the eye or the hand. It's in my heart. You see, I know something. The one who spoke these words would give the solution. He would do something so much more radical. He would give something more than his eye or his hands. He would give everything on the cross of Christ. Okay? He would give everything on the cross of Calvary. He would go up one day and say, I'll die. I'll give it up. You don't have to pluck out your eye. You don't have to cut off your hand. Why? Because I give myself for you. Radical. When Jesus arose from the grave, he taught that my heart can be changed to live for him. When Jesus changes your heart, he gives you something more than any treasure this world could offer you or more than your lust could ever desire. What does he give? He gives himself to you. The most radical thing that you can ever do is not to pluck out your eye or cut off your hand, but to trust in the payment that was made for you. I want you to know something. Jesus knew that we couldn't overcome the sin that so easily besets us every day we go into the battlefield. He knew that. That's why he stepped out of heaven one day. He stepped out and said, in fact, Galatians 4:4 said it wasn't a coincidence. It said in the fullness of time. It was said in eternity past. God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? That he could fulfill that law one day. That what these Pharisees and scribes were trying to do, they could never do. But what Jesus did, would be done for each and every one of us. Jesus knew we'd be tempted. Jesus knows what you're going through right now and the difficulties. He knows the sin that easily besets you. And he says, you know what? Give it to me. I got this. He knew that we couldn't do it on our own. But he came. He lives for us. That's how we overcome. When the temptation comes, we remember that in Christ, you know where it leads you? To nothing. It leads to nothing. But in Christ, it leads us to a fulfilled relationship with God the Father. And the battle is won right here in our mind. Paul says, I take every thought into captivity. Men, I want you to understand that, and women. Those thoughts process, every sin begins with a thought and temptation. He says, I take every thought into captivity. In your mind, you wrap up. It's like grabbing that thing and putting chains around it and casting it from you. Why? Because it leads to sin. It leads from separation from God. It leads from feeling discouraged, depressed. It leads to Satan coming in the back door and saying, and you did that? You call yourself a Christian? Hello, has anybody had the front door, back door? Comes in the front door, calls you to stumble in, the back door is worse than the front. You call yourself a pastor. You call yourself a Christian. And we stay beat down and never serving God for nothing. Why? Because we don't take it into captivity, as Paul says. Into the strong, we allow it to become strongholds if we're not careful. And in Jesus' name, you can take the Word of God. You can memorize a scripture. And whatever Satan throws in your way, you know what you say? It is written! When Satan came to attack Jesus, what did he say? It is written. Let me give you an example, everybody. Jesus said, here, let me show you how to overcome sin, temptation in the desert. What did he do? It is written. You have it right here in your hand, a powerful weapon, the sword of the Word of God that you can come in, and when he comes, whoo! It's that powerful. It's that powerful. Get you a scripture, whatever it does. Hey, Satan don't like that, okay? He don't want you in the Word of God. He wants to say, oh, I just ain't got time for it. I believe that, but I just don't have time for it. Listen, my friend, you don't have time not to do it. Find you some scripture. Find you something, and when he comes to attack you, you pull out the Word of God and say, it is written. It is written. And he has to flee when you resist him. The scripture said he'll flee from you. We should repent of our sins of self-righteousness, thinking that we have it. That's what the Pharisees' problem was. And we should ask God to forgive us and say, Lord, you're the only reason I can even function. You're the only reason I have a desire to come to church. You're the only reason, God, that I can overcome the temptations of this life and the things that Satan throws at my feet. You're the only reason. Help me today to live for you in a way that brings you glory. Men, next time you turn on that computer, pull something up on your phone, I want you to know God sees that. Christ sees that. You say, I just can't overcome it. No, you can't, but he can. You can't, but he can. Ladies, that silver-tongued devil's making you feel like, oh, he just makes me feel so good. They're out there. He don't come in a pitchfork, okay? And that wouldn't be no problem. Satan, get behind me. No, he looks pretty good. He looks good, and he cares so much about you. Right where you're at. Oh, he listens to me and my husband. He just don't have time for me. Listen, I grew up with women. Five women. Four sisters and a mama. I learned real quick how women thought. I learned real quick on what a woman wants. And I used that for Satan's sake. There's plenty of men out there that use it, okay? They'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. They'll make your husband look like you just come out jack-in-the-box. And he looks so good. That's a lie from the pit. That is. God has given you your marriage. No matter how tough it might be, Jesus can get you through and overcome, and it can be exactly what he wanted it to be if you do it God's way. Don't believe the lie of Satan. He's relentless, okay? Some applications and we'll finish up. Are you trying to do it yourself, or are you trusting in Jesus? Is there a sin you really just struggle with? You struggle with it all your life? Just give it to Jesus. Say, Lord, help me to overcome. Help me to get some scripture. Help me. I've asked you to forgive me 1,000 times. Aren't you glad he said, he just keeps on, just keep coming and asking him forgiveness and he'll relent. But he wants you to also put some things in place to keep yourself guarded. To live a fulfilled life. Satan don't want you to have a fulfilled life, by the way. But Christ wants you to have the abundant life in him. Number two, do you struggle with lust for a lustful heart? You struggle with a lustful heart? God knows that. Give it to him. It's our cravings. If we're not careful, we crave after all these things that the world says, here, you should have this. It cannot, it ought, not only sexually, but it could be career-wise, it could be whatever. That this, I'm just missing something in life. You're right. You are. It's called Jesus, okay? How can you say that, Dave? Because I was one of those that went on that quest myself, okay? And every road, it came to a dead end. You could follow it out. Felt pretty good. It was all having fun. We're just having fun. Woo! Get to the end of the road. There's nothing there, okay? If life, you're all you're wanting to party, it's a dead-end road, okay? It's chocolate-covered feces, okay, Anna? That's right. Oh, it tastes so good on the outside, but it's poop on the inside, okay? That's what sin will do for you, I'm telling you. That's what sin will do for you. But if you'll understand that there's a God that sent His Son to this earth, His name was Jesus. And you might have heard the story 100 times. You might have heard it 1,000 times. But you know that you're missing that. You're missing something. That what you're missing is a relationship with Jesus Christ, with a holy God that created you and made you with a void to worship something. And if you don't worship Him, you'll worship yourself or whatever. When this morning you can be restored to that right relationship. Now, is it going to be all hunky-dory and you don't have... No, that's a lie too. I don't know who comes up with that gospel stuff, man. I've been living for the Lord for a long time, but I still struggle. I still struggle. We'll struggle till I go to the grave. But God, through Christ, He overcomes. Are you willing to give it to Him this morning? That's the question. Let Him come and play. Don't know where you're at. I can tell you this. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows your need. He knows your struggle. If you don't know Christ, He's already revealed that to you this morning. This is your day. This is your day to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't let Satan throw whatever in there. Well, I've got to quit doing this. I've got to do what? Don't. You can't get anything lined up, right? Remember, it's done. It's not I got to. It's done. He finished it at the cross. Come to Christ. Give it to Him. If you're struggling with something, you're just saying, you know what? I just need to come and give it to Christ this morning. I just need to tell Him again, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to live for You. Stand to your feet. As Atlanta begins to play. And I want us to wait around. And first, right when Brittany starts calling, when she starts singing, come. Give it to Jesus today. If you're lost, come. Receive Christ. He's calling. Amen. See Him. Why should you tarry? Pleading. Linda's going to play softly. We've got many that are praying here. We'll wait on you just for a minute. God's spoken to you. Don't be disobedient. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Go finish up very quietly. What about you, though? Don't leave here lost. Don't leave here without a relationship with Christ. It'd be a terrible thing. Don't leave here with sin in your life that's just weighing on you. give it all to the Lord. You don't have to, here's the deal, we don't have to keep up, or you don't have to go through a, sure is nice when we do that, but you can see me and say, you know what, I need to talk to you. Nothing I'd rather do more than that. I love you. I'm here for you. We've had a lot of great miracles that's went on this week. God's worthy of all our miracles. We'll pray and dismiss. Sam, go ahead. Yeah.
Just along with what David, man, thank you, brother, for allowing the Lord to speak for you this morning. Guys, and this is for you women too, just a practical application to what David was taught on. And if you're struggling with things like lust and even on the internet or even things that you watch, David was my accountability partner here at the church, here in this local. I have a lot of best friends that I can talk to and things, but he's really close and we can talk. Challenges me all the time in my fall life and things like that. And one thing is you need an accountability partner. Somebody that is not going to gossip what you tell them, but is going to pray for you and challenge you with God's word. And if you need help in that and trying to seek out somebody, David and I and our ladies are here to help you in that process. But we also want to offer you, there's some help, some internet filters that we have that we use here to help us with that when you're searching on the internet to prevent some of those things from popping up in front of you to where you will be tempted to look at. We've got those resources here, and most of them are free, so you don't have to pay for them. And then we'll coach you through that stuff. Guys, this is a strong point in many of our lives, and we need help with this. Now, once again, it points back to when he says, you know, rather than cut out your eye or cut off your hand, these filters are not going to solve the problem. Yeah. Only the gospel will. Yeah. Only the power of Jesus and his resurrection, what he did on the cross, is going to solve that problem. But these are helps to help you to overcome that. And they have been a great thing in my life. And I've still failed. And I still need the gospel, just like we all do. But we do need that accountability to help each other out. Yeah. So David, I appreciate that. Yeah.
I get an email every week. It says Lee and what he's looked at and whether he's in any questionable sites. And praise God, there's no questionable sites that he isn't. But he knows that's coming. He knows that accountability is in place. And that's so important. That's so important because, you know, the truth of the matter, we're accountable to Jesus, but we're accountable one another too. And that's what the church is about, helping each other, not pointing fingers. Not being self-righteous, you might not struggle with it, but there's a lot of people that do. And so it's just that thought. Thank you, Lee, for sharing that. Sam, would you dismiss us, please?